Set a spark to your integrated business and marketing strategies with America's top entrepreneurs and business leaders here at Integrate and Ignite with your host, Lori Jones.
Welcome to the Integrate and Ignite podcast. Brian Phelps has a reputation of trusted expertise with little fanfare. As founder and CEO of Big Leap, he has built a company that provides all the flexibility and communication of a boutique agency combined with the scale and accountability of a global firm. With a clear focus on four core services, SEO, content, social media, and marketing automation, Brian is known for his expertise, ethics, and excellence. Today, we're going to focus on how to boost SEO through reputation management. Welcome to Integrate and Ignite, Brian.
Awesome. Thanks so much for having me. I'm really excited to talk about this topic. I love it.
We talk a lot about SEO on the show because it's ever changing, right? I mean, one day to the next, we are uncovering something new. We're having an epiphany about something we've just learned, and we're pivoting and making sure that the next step is something that we can build upon. Before we dive into all of that, though, tell us a little bit more about yourself and your journey.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd be happy to. So yeah, I got into the digital marketing world through SEO. It's been a hobby and passion of mine for probably going on 15 years or so. So I've been through a lot of the stages that you've talked about with pivoting and adjusting and changing to this market. It's one of the things I love about it is that it just changes so much and it is so valuable for so many businesses. So for us at Big Leap, like that's what we get really excited and kind of nerdy about sometimes is trying to stay up to date and test and tweak and adjust and do those things that help, you know, us and our clients perform better in search.
Well, I love the fact that you call it a hobby and a passion as well, because I think that makes the best marketers out there. People who live and breathe what they do each and every day and really help brands prosper and grow and achieve those growth goals that are so important to them. And what I love, again, about this topic is really connecting SEO to reputation management. Let's break that apart really quickly and tell us fundamentally how SEO can help that.
Yeah. So something that we do at Big Leap for some of our clients is what we call reputation management. You've mentioned that. I mean, that can mean a lot of different things to different people. And so when we talk about that for definition's sake, we're talking about specifically what shows up in those search results. So if you do a search for a certain brand name or for even your own name or something like that, we pay a lot of attention there and help our clients make sure that whatever is showing up on that first page of Google represents them really well. So that's our big focus from SEO and reputation management.
And it's about what is showing up, number one, but number two, what's not showing up as well. So for instance, there's thought leadership as a part of reputation management, right? And thought leadership regarding our podcast. When I search Lori Jones, everything with the podcast comes up. What we're really focused on from a company standpoint is marketing strategy. That's what we want to optimize for. And connecting the dots between that is really a focus area for the company. So explain to us a little bit more about really how you define what does show up, what doesn't, and where companies should really be uncovering what their sweet spot could be.
Yeah, that's an excellent point you made about what's not showing up. And so we have people on both ends of the spectrum, from companies that maybe have something negative showing up that, you know, it could be a bad review that shows up on Reddit or, you know, just anything like that. Someone that has their own blog that wrote something, you know, negative about a brand. So they're in a kind of a reactive stage. So they're trying to move or push out something negative in the search results. To your point of what's not showing up, we have clients sometimes that are being a little bit more intentional about what shows up when they're Googled. There's a great marketer who presentation once said that just recently that your homepage isn't really your homepage anymore. Your first page of your branded search is your homepage. That's where people start that journey even to find a brand. And so they, of course, are looking for you in the number one spot, but they want to see what are those other things that people are talking about or saying, what, how is this company representing themselves in the search results? It can often be an indication about the size of a business. So if I'm looking at a new, let's just say just from a consumer perspective, a new piece of gym equipment, and I Google that and you know, the first result, it looks right, but everything else, I'm not even sure if it's the same thing I'm talking about. That may be an indication to me as a buyer that this brand isn't very big or noticed, and that may factor into that whole buying decision that I go through. So we again help clients that are more reactive, and then some that are trying to be a little bit more proactive and intentional and trying to make sure they have positive content that really reinforces the brand showing up in the search results.
And in a minute here, we're going to get into a three-part process that Brian and his team deploy to really help you increase your optimization when it comes to this topic. But you mentioned reviews, and I think it's a really important point here because there are good reviews and there are bad reviews. And before we get into the tips, how do we move bad reviews to the bottom? The magical number I've always heard is that you need 6 good reviews to combat a single bad review. What are you hearing and actually talking to your own customers about?
Yeah, I mean, overall, you probably discuss that ratio and have different perspectives. I love the numbers you mentioned. So our approach, with reputation management and the search results in particular, is the goal really isn't to cover something up, right? Like if a brand that comes to us and just isn't doing good things and is kind of a bad brand, we can't fix a problem that, is just ingrained in their business. So our goal is to help companies that maybe have had issues in the past have resolved those. We've even worked with individuals that have had people have personal attacks against that maybe were unfounded and help them. And so to your point about reviews, one of the properties, for example, a website property that we see a lot show up in the search results is Glassdoor, which is employee reviews. And so if I'm, again, looking for fitness equipment, Glassdoor isn't my first thought, but sometimes that can be a really insightful way to learn about the inner workings of a company. And so in that scenario, our advice to a client isn't to try to make Glassdoor go away or hide Glassdoor. It's more the process of, hey, what do we need to do? How can we change, your processes, whether it's customer reviews or employee reviews, to highlight the good things you're doing and make sure it's not just the negative people out there who, of course, are more prone to, leave a review. How do we get more of those, 6 good reviews for that 1 bad review you have? So instead of trying to push Glassdoor out of the search results, how do we make Glassdoor just a really positive asset for that brand?
Yeah, I love that. And even when there is a bad review, a lot of it is how the company responds to that, right? In the case of Glassdoor, you can't. But with other review sites, you can. And how you handle a negative situation is all about turning it into a positive. So it's one deeper glimpse into a company and how they handle that, that provides the person researching an inside look on something that can become a positive.
Yeah, exactly. And the reality is that if I'm researching a brand, whether it's B2B or B2C, I know no one's perfect. I know we're not perfect. Like there's going to be negative reviews. And if everything only looks positive, that's almost more suspicious in some ways.
Yeah, it is.
Something's going on. So to your point, I expect to find a negative review from time to time, because that's just the reality. You can't please everybody. And so I like looking, again, like you said, at how did the company react and respond? And again, that gives you a lot of insights, I think, into how a company operates.
Yeah, it really does. So 3 steps for using SEO to find out what your brand reputation looks like and where you want to take it, I assume. So the first one is evaluate your situation.
Yeah, exactly. And so this will vary a lot depending on the circumstances. So again, if you're just an individual, it's great to go and search your name and see what shows up. As you start talking about bigger brands, there's thousands sometimes of keywords that people might be searching for that are brand related. So again, you take a bigger company like Tesla, for example, and they'll have the branded search of people looking at reviews and things like that. But you'll see common trends where people even search like Tesla reviews Reddit because they trust Reddit as a source. And so our first step is to try to understand what's the breadth of those branded searches. And we can use different tools like Google Ads and tools like SEMrush, SEMrush, I believe it's called, and Ahrefs. And even in just going and typing into Google, if you start typing those things, Google will suggest other keywords. So we try to inventory all those keywords, and then we look them up one by one and do kind of an analysis with a dashboard we have that shows us, how many negative reviews are showing up in what placements. And that helps us get kind of this inventory and prioritize this list of branded search to know where do we need to focus our efforts.
Well, and defining those search terms on truly, let's face facts. We brought this up earlier. We're both boutique agencies and we work with some incredible clients, but There are about 35,000 agencies in the United States who are buying for the same interests that you and I are, and really deeply understanding where you can be successful and where you cannot is some of the best advice that we can even provide our own customers regarding the opportunity for SEO to really work for them when it comes to specific terms.
Yeah, and it's a big part in SEO in general, but also reputation management is being able to set those expectations with clients. Because we've worked with some where maybe they only have one bad thing showing up in the eighth spot, and we know that, you know, this is a good company and there's lots of positive content out there that we can try to highlight and showcase more. And that may be a much different scenario, different campaign than a brand that maybe has four or five, you know, rip-off report type, you know, sites showing up on the first page. That's going to take a lot more time and work sometimes. So yeah, understanding, you know, what the need, what are the different keywords, what are people searching for, and also inventorying, you know, what do we have to work with? Does this brand, you know, have good content out there, or are they kind of laid low online, which means we have a lot more work ahead?
Yeah, I think one question also that a lot of brands ask themselves, you know, whether it be a former employee who's trying to sabotage the brand, or you know, the competitors who are freely talking about the brand in a very, very negative light. There are some very, very unethical practices involved on the review side. What advice do you have for our clients outside of SEO? This is just fundamental advice on how they can combat those situations when they happen.
Yeah, a lot of brands, I think, have a perception, and it's not wrong maybe to start with this mindset, especially with newer brands sometimes, of, hey, if we just do good things, if we treat our customers right, our employees right, we don't have to worry about that. And to your point you just made, you can have competitors out there, and that's honestly probably one of the biggest sources of this, that use SEO against you, and it could be completely inaccurate. We see this with some brands we work with where they'll use YouTube, for example, and do a review of a product. And they do a 2-minute review of our client's product, but then they spend the next 10 minutes talking about their product, and they try to make it sound unbiased and things like that. And so it's one of those things that even if you're a great brand and doing good things, it's something you need to be proactive about and aware of, because again, you can be doing everything right, but you have to pay attention to that. So to your question, some of the things that we talk with brands about, even outside of SEO, is just good marketing in general, but how do you incorporate good content and reviews and positive experiences, you know, into your marketing process? So for example, at Big Leap, one of the things we do with our team as we've hired and grown our employee base is with our HR system, we kind of work a process into that. After so many months of their employment here, it just sends them a notification, says, hey, we'd love for you to give a completely honest review of how things are going at Big Leap over here at Glassdoor. And, you know, we don't try to guide or persuade people to say one thing or the other. We want it to be honest and transparent. And that's where, you know, being a good brand is doing good things, you know, you're helping facilitate that to put out that positive reputation. And I think when you do those, you incorporate processes like those, you'll easily outpace and outweigh any of those competitors or anybody that may be trying to sabotage or play games with you online.
Well, and people are smart. You know, at the end of the day, as long as it isn't something that is continual, they're going to read between the lines and figure that this probably is not an accurate statement. So we've evaluated the situation. We have, you know, a good platform to work with. We know where we want to optimize, where we can be successful. And point number two here is really creating positive content and assets that show up on the SEO side.
Yeah, and that's where all the work begins. And so once we kind of understand what our goal is, what the strategy is, we have to create that content or look to see what content we have to create those opportunities. So we always prefer to use really high authority sites to rank better first if they don't already. And we've always been a little surprised. We always assume, you know, if you search for a brand, you're going to see their website, you're going to see their Facebook, their LinkedIn, their, you know, whatever, their big social platforms or Glassdoor. But a lot of times they don't. And so we always start there, and there's things we can do to optimize those profiles and link them with, you know, the corporate website to make those rank higher. And so we start there with our clients of trying to see, hey, what's maybe on page 2 or page 3 or even farther back, that's a high authority site that if we put a little bit more emphasis on could rank better quickly. And we try to get for those kind of quick win opportunities. We've had a lot of success with those. But we do have clients sometimes, and one is an example of a local person here in Utah that's really successful guy, and that sometimes draws, you know, negative attention and warranted or unwarranted. So he hired us just for his own personal brand and reputation, and he really didn't have a lot online. He wasn't a big social media type of guy. And so we still focused on those, but we also built him his own personal website. He had his name, so like brianphelps.com as a domain. So we built that. He helped even create the content about business and leadership. So in that scenario, we had to create more of that good online content and help him optimize that. So again, we like to start with the third party type websites, the Glassdoors, the Facebooks, those types of sites. And then we typically will move on from there to other types of web properties that we can maybe build and optimize as well.
This next comment is going to sound a little basic, but I think it's worth noting that your branded terms are one thing, right? What we're really talking about here is optimizing for terms that will help you boost your market penetration and sell more.
Yeah, there's, you know, with SEO, obviously you may be trying to drive, let's say, something really non-branded. So for example, let's say there's a business intelligence company called Domo, and, you know, they may want to show up if someone's searching for business intelligence software, but they also have a lot of branded search for something like Domo versus competitor X. And so we'll look at all those kinds of terms to try to see how can we optimize and help our clients drive more traffic and revenue. And really, so there's kind of two goals with this online reputation management. So there are those branded searches, you know, where people search and customers that are considering a brand. We want good things to show up there too. And we want to get rid of the negative stuff, but it also just, again, helps that whole sell cycle. So people spend a lot of money on TV ads with paid search, paid social, just, you know, marketing in general. But often what happens is they create a lot of that awareness, and then people go to Google and search for that brand, and they may spend a lot of money getting them there. And then someone could go to Google and say, hey, there's 40 bad reviews about this brand, so I'm out of here. And so making sure that online reputation is good for your branded searches helps all of your marketing channels just perform at a higher level too.
You know, all things being equal, we as a, you know, integrated marketing communications are really instilling the importance of diversity in the workplace right now, and certainly community relations, those outbound programs that really help brands give back to the community in a big, big way. And what we know is when you are searching a company and you are trying to really understand the inner workings of the brand, not just what they're selling, that those components can really help quite a bit. There are sticky points, though, when it comes to SEO. How are you working with your brands to optimize some of those far-reaching brand attributes versus the low-hanging fruit?
Yeah, and that's one of the difficult parts, I guess, is, you know, it's not necessarily hard to go and, let's say, set up Facebook or even build a personal blog, like that example I gave for the local businessman. The harder part, of obviously, and this is just SEO in general, is getting it to rank well. And so you mentioned you've covered SEO a lot, and there's probably, don't want to go into all the specifics of that, but there's things on the website you want to optimize and get set up. And but a really big part, important part of this, especially from a brand perspective, is when we're doing this, we really want to create assets that are part of the business in a lot of ways. If they're these extra things that, you know, we're doing just for reputation management and the search results, they tend to eventually get forgotten about. And Google recognizes that, right? If we stop updating websites, if we stop linking to our own website, it's not going to show up in the search results for very long. So one example with this, we worked with an international company. They had their own blog on their own website. They also had a kind of a separate community site for all of their dealers and distributors. And so we try to integrate these other properties as part of their business to make them important parts of that business so they don't get lost and forgotten about. You want properties, you want websites out there, whether it's your Facebook, Twitter, things that you use regularly, that will help them stick in the search results longer. And if a potential customer lands on it, it's going to be up to date. It's going to be something you've posted about recently, not something that's 3 years old and dated that's not really helping you from a marketing perspective.
I agree. Consistency is key, no matter what. You can't set it and leave it. It's an ongoing battle in the trenches and all of the components, whether it be content or direct social, video, whatever, are really important to maintaining that SEO strategy. Point number three here is optimizing the positive and getting it to rank, which we briefly talked about, but let's go into more detail there.
Yeah, exactly. And so there's kind of the technical side of websites. So making sure Google can crawl and index the site, making sure the content explains that well. And so this will really depend a lot on that first step. What are the things people are looking for? So a lot of our clients that maybe sell a product have a branded search that's, let's just say, Acme company reviews. And so in those scenarios, we've built out websites for those clients that, you know, maybe it's acmereviews.com. And, you know, we're regularly updating those sites with just fresh content, new reviews. And so making sure that the website is focused around, you know, a specific keyword can be really helpful. And there's a lot you can get into on that side of things, but really building out content that matches the query, what someone actually looking for when they do that search, is really important. So that's really the first half of it. The second half is the popularity side, making sure Google can find that website. And they evaluate that a lot of times by understanding linking. So, you know, even from our own brand, like acme.com, I'm going to link to that acmereviews.com, and I want to get other people to link to it as well. So if you have partners, customers, et cetera, you want to try to get more, as many people as you can talking about those sites and sharing them, and that will help them rank better in the search results.
And it doesn't happen overnight. We want it to, but it does not happen. I mean, you know, a single search term can take, you know, a few months at a minimum sometimes to optimize.
Yeah, and it comes down to that competition side. We've had some great quick wins with some that are even, again, like the local businessman, because it wasn't someone that was regularly campaigning against him. It was kind of a one-time thing. So we were able to have some quick wins there, but we've worked with bigger brands that, you know, may have dozens of people just out of their hundreds of thousands of customers that have a little vendetta maybe against them and are actively, you know, trying to leave negative reviews. And so those are a little bit more of an ongoing battle. And like you said, can take months. Most of our clients, especially the bigger brands, look at this as really just an ongoing kind of battle that they need to fight.
And you know what, you bring such a good point up, because most brands, when launching a new website, they think about SEO and then they let it go and don't look at it again. Really, the SEO strategy of today needs to be ongoing, weekly, daily, monthly, whatever the case, so that you can compete in the trenches and win.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Sometimes people, and I've been guilty of using this analogy, you know, SEO versus like search ads, for example, is buying versus renting. So, you know, if you're renting ads, essentially, you know, the second you stop paying Google for those ads, they're going to turn off, which is all true. And with SEO, people have compared that to buying, and there's some similarities, but it's not, you know, it's like you said, it's not a set it and forget it thing. It's something you have to actively manage, or else, you know, you have competitors that are doing the same. They're trying to outrank you. So you're always kind of competing there, but there are a lot of benefits from a cost perspective when you compare those two channels.
Yeah, it really is. Final thoughts for our audience. What should they be looking out for if they are going to begin their SEO strategy?
So looking at, you know, whether it's even just traditional SEO, remember the non-branded versus the branded side, I think one of the things people skip over, they make a lot of assumptions maybe on what people are searching for, and it's great. And hopefully most people that own a company or a brand or in charge of marketing for a brand understand their customers. But I think we've all been guilty sometimes of using our own jargon sometimes and assuming that's what people are searching for. So that first stage that sometimes people want to blow through a little too quickly is that customer research and keyword research understanding. And there's lots of tools that help with that, and we use those a lot. But the piece that I think people miss out on sometimes is talking to customers and trying to understand, you know, what do they actually search for? How do they search? You know, there's voice search, there's YouTube, there's Google. You know, people find products in probably more ways than ever before. So really understanding, you know, how are people searching for what you do or for your brand is an important part that I think gets forgotten about too much.
And not until, you know, you've listened to them that you can ultimately create the assets and the strategy that are authentic to the brand and drive traction to the bottom line. Brian Phelps, thank you so much for your appearance on the Integrate and Ignite podcast.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Appreciate the opportunity.
This episode is complete, but the inspiration has just begun. Head over to avocetcommunications.com for show notes and more aha moments. Tune in regularly to Ignite Your Integrated Business and Marketing Strategies with Lori Jones and the Integrate and Ignite podcast.